We'll forego the reading this morning. We'll come to the passage in Luke here in a bit. Please join me for a word of prayer as we start this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time that we have, again, to freely and openly come before you, to encourage one another, to lift our voices in song to you, and to study your word together. Father, we thank you during this time of season for the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the provision of our salvation that was made, and for all that that means to us in our daily life. We just pray, Father, as we look into your word together this morning, that once again we'll be able to set aside all the cares and concerns and distractions of our daily life and of the world around us, just to focus upon the things of your word and allow it to encourage us, to strengthen us, to challenge us, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't usually associate the heartwarming Christmas story with war. The cold cruelty of war seems about as far as we can get from the generosity of the holiday season. The pain and the suffering of the battle seem to just contradict the joy and celebration of the Christmas season. But at Christmas time, soon after World War I began in 1914, some German and some British soldiers took peace into their own hands. On Christmas Eve, the soldiers on each side of the battlefield began to sing Christmas carols. The soldiers on each side realized that even though it was different languages they were singing in, they were actually singing the same songs. So early the next morning, on Christmas Day, some German soldiers walked across the landscape of the scarred battle of war, what was typically known as no man's land. But they came walking across there unarmed, with their hands in the air, shouting Merry Christmas to their enemies. The Allied soldiers at first were distrustful of this act, thinking it may have been a trick, but eventually they crawled out of their trenches and joined them. They shook hands, they exchanged some small gifts of cigarettes and plum pudding and things of the like, and they all sang their Christmas carols together. It's even documented that a game of soccer broke out that day, on this one day of an unofficial truce, an unofficial ceasefire of Christmas Day in 1914. For the one day between them, there was peace. Can you imagine the awesome spectacle of that day? The peace that was enjoyed, even if but for a moment, when enemies placed their shared humanity before their grievances and experienced the peace of Christmas. In a similar way, God's peace can fill us and rule within us, even when we're surrounded by death and evil and turmoil in the world in which we live. God's presence and peace can pierce even the most dark, even the most painful of situations and circumstances and surroundings, including any war or emotional valley that we might find ourselves engaged in on a personal level. Christmas is typically and rightfully thought of as the season of joy, but it can be painful for many people for many reasons. And maybe you're one of them this morning. What battle is it that you face this morning? What pain relentlessly bombards you as you hunker down in the trenches of life and try to get through? What darkness haunts you even under the twinkling lights and decorations of the Christmas season? We may not be able to end all the cultural and physical wars that rage on around us or even within us, but even in those darkest of places, we can lean into the God who is with us and experience the peace that is brought into our world because of Emmanuel, God with us. The proclamation of peace is in the Christmas story that comes from the passage in Luke. It just doesn't seem like Christmas if we don't read from Luke 2, right? Luke chapter 2, and we'll read verses 8 through 14 this morning. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the multitude, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Man, you can imagine the surprise of these shepherds, can't you? As they're on the outskirts of Bethlehem on this star-filled night, watching the sheep, and then suddenly the brightest star in the sky becomes dimmed by the glow and brilliant light and glory of an angel of the Lord appearing before them, who brought them this proclamation of peace. The restoration of wholeness and oneness with God is the essence of peace. The comforting knowledge that all is well, all is as it should be, brings peace to our mind and our heart. Peace is not based on class or position or occupation, but on God's purpose and God's design to bring good news that will cause great joy for all people, as this angel proclaims. Glory to God in the highest, because the Prince of Peace had come. Let's look closer at what this proclamation of peace from the angel of the Lord means for us, and what it looks like throughout history and in our own lives today. When God gave the law to Moses, you can be turning back to Numbers chapter 6. Along with the law came roles and responsibilities and duties for those who would be in God's service. The priests among them, and the priests were to guide the spiritual life of God's people. And he gave them the ultimate blessing to speak over God's people in Numbers chapter 6. We're going to start reading with verse 22. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22. "The Lord spake to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.'" Okay, peace. But what is peace? What does it mean, really, to have peace? The Hebrew word here that's used for peace is shalom. It's used throughout the Old Testament, and it contains a rich and powerful meaning. The Jews used it idiomatically for saying hello and goodbye, just as a general greeting or to wish people well when they said shalom. It means so much more than just the absence of conflict, though. It translates from the Hebrew shalom into the English as peace, but again, it's more than the absence of conflict. As I alluded to a moment ago, shalom embodies a peace and a harmony and a safety and a prosperity, a completeness, a wholeness. It's this type of peace that God brings to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Shalom, who was prophesied about in the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9, if you'd like to turn with me there. The prophet Isaiah foretold of this coming Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, we'll start reading with verse 6 when we get there. Isaiah was a prophet who foretold about the fall of Jerusalem. Babylonian the Babylonian Empire would come in and overthrow Jerusalem. It wouldn't seem like there was going to be peace. But Isaiah also foretold of the time when the Prince of Peace would come. Isaiah chapter 9, starting with verse 6, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The Jews of Jesus' day, when the Prince of Peace came, they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a strong leader to establish political justice against their oppressors. After all, they lived under the iron rule of the Roman Empire, and this was not by choice. They were a conquered people at the mercy of the power of a military empire, and they were ready to fight behind a capable, God-inspired leader to regain their freedom. They were tired of being kicked around, tired of being pushed around. They wanted national prosperity. They wanted peace among themselves. And when the Lord returns one day, He will heal all that's been broken. He will restore everything for Israel. They will once again be God's chosen people, God's premier nation among all the nations of the earth. And there will be a complete state of peace, a complete state of shalom. There will be an absence of war and hatred. That's true. But the peace that comes, you see, will be an extension of the Prince of Peace, who will rule and reign on that throne in that kingdom that will be established. It will be more than just the absence of conflict, because Jesus Christ is the essence of peace. Which brings us to another point. We know what peace is. Peace is shalom, but peace is also a person. Not just what it is, but who it is. Back here in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it explained that the Prince of Peace would be this child that would come, this Savior who would be born, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is not just the one who came to bring peace. He's not just the one who brings peace to us. He is peace. Be turning to John chapter 14. At the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he spoke some words to his disciples about the peace that he gives. John chapter 14, we're just going to look at one verse here, verse 27. Turn to the wrong passage. Sorry about that. John chapter 14 and verse 27. The Lord said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus and his disciples, his followers, were about to experience a crushing blow. They were going to see this man that they had been following be arrested, be beaten, and even be crucified on the cross of Calvary. They were going to see him put to death. But Jesus Christ said he was giving them the gift of peace. A gift that was different from anything that our world could give. His peace, which is a peace that the world can't give. It's not a gift that can be taken away either, nor is it something that we can create on our own. It's not the absence of pain or the absence of hurt or the absence of violence or the absence of uncertainty. It's embodied in this person, Jesus Christ, who is peace himself. He embodies that title, the Prince of Peace. And his assurance to his disciples was that even in whatever would appear to be the most hopeless of situations, he would be with them and his peace would be present among them as well. His peace and his presence is also with us, no matter what circumstances we go through in our daily life. As the Holy Spirit put it so eloquently from the hand of the Apostle Paul, he is our peace. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. As this chapter starts, Paul talks about our past and who we were, dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses and sins, separated from God. But then we come to a wonderful two-word phrase in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in His mercy, because of His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And then further, skip down to verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, for He Himself is our peace. That is Jesus Christ. As we experience God's presence, we become interwoven and inseparable from the peace that He is, the peace that He gives us. Paul went further. Let's continue in this passage in Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 14, 15, and 16. Paul said, for He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation between us, between Jew and Gentile. He's talking about the Mosaic law there that's taken out of the way. But he says, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ark and the oracles, the ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Verse 16, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. God with us brings peace between us and God. But I want you to see here, as Paul is talking about the barrier that's been broken down between the Jew and Gentile, and how historically the Jew and Gentile did not get along with one another, that today in the church, the body of Christ, they are brought together. And so the peace that God gives us is not just peace between us and God, it's also a peace among other people. At Christmas time, there's usually a lot of family gatherings, family get-togethers, sometimes with family members that we only see this one time of year during Christmas. And the truth is that in most families, you have at least one relative who requires just a little bit of extra grace to be around. And if you're thinking about your family right now and trying to picture who that is, but you're not really coming up with anybody, then it's probably you. I jest, of course. But my point is that God not only brings a peace to us and a peace in us, God brings a peace among us, because we're all drawn together by this common bond of peace through the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are unified in that. And actually, this is the perfect picture of shalom, where it doesn't matter what's going on around you, you see. There's the wholeness that you feel, the safety that you feel, the restoration that we have as God's people. Jesus' peace is not simply that we agree to disagree, you see. It's that even in our disagreement, we are still one. We are one in Jesus Christ. And so whatever our differences are, they all become trivial in comparison to that. Jesus' peace is complete. And it's because of who He is. Jesus Christ, who is our peace, has the ability to bring us peace in our daily life. It has an effect on us. And so that's what I want to finish with this morning, is what this peace is. This peace is transforming, and it's what it does to us. When the angel of the Lord declared, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill toward men," we find that it didn't bring an immediate cease of conflict in our world. there is still the darkness and the cruelty of war. There is still conflict even in our own community. Conflicts did not cease. Since that day to this day, there have been very few days in our world where war wasn't waged somewhere. I touched earlier on the story of the one day of peace, but unfortunately it was just in that one location. But when the Lord returns to rule and reign and establish His kingdom on this earth, He will establish peace in His kingdom once and for all. And you say, I know that, and that's great, but what good does that do me right now, in the here and now, where I am? How peaceful is your Christmas season this season? Just stop and think about it for a moment. If you were to be honest and put a word on your Christmas season this Christmas, what would it be? Busy? Hectic? Frantic? Those are words that we would probably use to describe our everyday life. So why not during the Christmas season as well? For many, you would probably say it fits. Not just this time of year, but all year round. That's how my life is. We have overloaded schedules. We have jobs. We have bills to pay. Those things, if we let them, rob us of our peace. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe it is conflict with a fellow family member that has robbed you of your peace. Maybe there's marital conflict. Maybe the pressure at work really is really bad. Or maybe you don't even have a job right now. Maybe there's an illness that you are battling. I mean, we could go on and on, right? For many of us, peace seems like a foreign concept. It seems like something that is far away. It seems like something that's a good idea, a nice thought for the future, something that we long for. If only we could, in the here and now, have some peace. Well, I'm going to ask you a question that I want you to answer, not out loud, but in your mind. Again, what is peace to you? What is it that you're looking for your peace? I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus Christ shows up. And the storms of life, whatever it is that threatens your peace and your hope and your joy, I want to challenge you to look to Him. And I want to encourage you to focus on Him. He is there with us when everything else seems to be falling apart, when our path forward seems to be completely unclear. Even the disciples who lived in Jesus' day had a hard time grasping this. Do you remember the story of the disciples? Be turning to Mark chapter 4. They had been with Jesus on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and then Jesus was done teaching, and He said, let's go back across the Sea of Galilee. Mark chapter 4, you can imagine that they've had a rough day, but they're tired, they're weary, and as they begin to take this journey back across the ocean, a storm comes up and the disciples were afraid. Now that should tell us something, because these men, many of them were fishermen. They were raised on this body of water. They knew this body of water like the back of their hand. They were regulars at this. And yet as their boat began to take on water, they were terrified. The waves rose, the wind howled, and Jesus slept through it all. And finally, the disciples woke him up saying something akin to, "Don't you even care what's happening to us?" Mark chapter 4, we'll start reading with verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" With just a command of peace from Jesus, the storm calmed and the sea turned tranquil, and the disciples were in awe. But these disciples sound a lot like us, don't they? When things aren't looking good for us, tough times come, the schedule's hectic, it seems like we just can't keep up, it seems like it's just one bad thing after another, like the hits just keep coming. And then we turn to God and we say, "God, don't you care?" We think he's not paying attention to us. We think he doesn't realize the magnitude of our situation. And we add to the spiral of our own storm that rages around us instead of seeking to turn to him for him to quell it. Because in reality, God is there. He is the God who is with us, always present. He knows all that swirls around us and within us. He sees beyond the waves and the wind of our circumstances. And the power of his peace is not diminished by those storms. This completeness, you see, this wholeness with God is what Jesus brought into the world, left with his disciples, and also seeks to give to you. It's the peace that calms our souls deeply. It's the peace that says, "It is well with my soul," no matter what is going on around me. This is the peace that was proclaimed by the angel of the Lord on this day. And this is the peace that we celebrate during this season. We can allow it to fill our hearts with calm and courage as we turn to him, Jesus Christ, giving our request to him in prayer and focusing on his faithfulness, because we know that God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. He will never fail. How do we experience it? It's available to us. But how do we get it? First of all, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the peace that you will never know. So if you haven't done that, that's the first step. We can't be good enough to get to heaven. We can't earn our way to heaven. This time of year, we think about giving, and that's a good thing. But you can't give enough to earn enough favor with God to get you into heaven. Instead, you have to receive his gift. He is the great giver, and he has offered to you the gift of salvation. All you have to do is accept it. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ on your behalf. It's the blood that covers your sins. No, it's the blood that washes away your sins and cleanses you from all of your unrighteousness in the sight of God. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I urge you, I plead with you to do so today. Go to God and accept that free gift of salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you say, I know about that peace that I have with God because of what Jesus Christ has done, but this peace you've been talking about this morning, it's been a long time since I've felt that peace. Then I'm going to say something that might offend you. It's probably been a long time since you went to God in prayer. How do we get the peace that I've been talking about this morning? For believers, one simple practice, prayer. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. When we come to God through prayer, most of the time we will come away from that prayer with absolutely nothing in our lives having changed. Our circumstances will be exactly the same as they were when we went to God in prayer. But what happens is He changes us, you see. Prayer changes us. God's peace is able to bring a powerful transformation in our spirits, no matter what we are anxious about or worrying about. We need to bring it to God in prayer and leave it with Him, and He will give us this peace. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. What did I say? He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is always with us. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Or in the modern vernacular, we'd say, stop worrying about stuff. We worry too much. Don't worry, don't be anxious about things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's what we are commanded to do. To worry about what?
Nothing.
Pray about everything, and then something happens. There is a result of that. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As we come to Him and we give thanks, God's peace swells within us and guides us and guards us as well. It's a miraculous peace, one that transcends understanding. It doesn't make sense, you see, how we could have peace in the circumstances that we're facing. It wouldn't naturally exist in the midst of the struggles that we are facing. It's a peace that because of all that we are dealing with, we shouldn't be able to experience. But God gives it to us. This is the God that we are dealing with. This is the God that we serve. This is our Prince of Peace. The giver of shalom, the giver of His spirit of peace. When we come close to Him and we worship Him and we connect with Him, then it transforms us. And it transforms our outlook. No matter how bad the storms swirl and rage around us or even within us, He can calm it. And He can carry us through. Let me encourage you, look for Him. Even when the winds blow, even when the storm swirls, it may seem to you, as it did to the disciples, that He doesn't care. But in the midst of whatever life holds for you this day or this week, remember that Jesus comes in power and He is the Prince of Peace. He is always with us, ready to restore wholeness and comfort to us. I want you to listen. I'm going to close with this passage of Scripture from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. May the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this time that we had to look into the Scriptures this morning. We thank You for the proclamation of peace that was brought by the angels on the day that our Savior was born, on the day that He humbled himself and took upon himself the form of flesh for the purpose of one day being the payment for our sins. We thank you, Father, for knowing that he didn't just bring peace, that he is peace, he is our peace. May we understand that. And understanding it, may we truly stand in that truth, taking it to our heart, looking to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the substance of our peace. We thank you, Father, for knowing that because of the peace that we have with you, that everything around us really is just trivial. Because everything around us is temporary. We thank you, Father, though, that there is an eternity waiting for us that transcends everything that we see and experience now. We long for it, Father. We long for that day, but we thank you that in the meantime, your peace is available to us in the here and now. We just pray, Father, that each one of us look to you in faith and experience it, especially during this joyous holiday season about the coming of the Prince of Peace. Father, it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we ask this prayer. Amen.